Please call over choice.
Okay, so you can start us off at 7 o'clock on the dot. You can hit us with the Usher song. 7 o'clock on the dot.
We have to see it because it's your flag. So again, y'all sing it because you get flag and they get done.
Oh, sorry.
Now it's actually 7 o'clock on the dot. We're not dropped off, but we can't cross the street because of Corona. We have a real nice conversation that's waiting for me. So we pull up, anticipating.
Y'all want to guard them.
Y'all want to guard them. Welcome, all the 7 o'clock officially. My love, bringing in my.
Okay, so this is the R in Love podcast. And for those who've been riding with us, throughout season one.
Yeah. So happy anniversary. Happy we decided to have us the living room conversations.
Yeah.
In January. And now a year later, this is it. So, yeah.
Congrats, guys.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Consistency, right? So we're just here to people who happen to be married, Rodney and Nadia, having a conversation about life. About things from our perspective, yeah. Millennials, Lord, getting old, can't even say it no more. parenting, relationships, pop culture, whatever. And this season, we wanted to step it up a bit, right? And we wanted to hear from, because, you know, it's nice to hear from us, but I feel like you want to share perspectives as well. You want to hear from different people. And so we wanted to reach out to couples in our communities that we, highly regard and look up to. And one of those people would be the Smiths. So we'll allow the Smiths to take it away and introduce themselves.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is Jamal Smitty Smith. That's my real name. Everyone's calling me Smitty. Jamal is my real name. But so happy to be here tonight. Who am I? Them days over. Anyhow, just I'm just honestly a very proud, vehement, easygoing person. I'm a very social person. I just love life. I just love putting my all into whatever I do, whether it be hobbies, whether it be relationships with people, friendships, business, whatever the case may be. And and my marriage, you know, that's a major thing for me. I always considered myself a leader. And I think that helps to push me in a direction of investing in my marriage because, I mean, the reality is in society, in our norm, it's very difficult to have people to look up to and follow in regards to marriage. But I felt that, look, this is what I want, this is what I want to do, and just put my all into it. So I'm just a proud father of two beautiful kids. And I could go on and on. Let me love me life.
I don't have as much to say. Jamal's wife, as I refer to, my real name is Tracy.
I know. I call myself Aunt Nadia. It's okay.
Aunt Tracy, yeah. I'm an easygoing, laid-back person. Very organized, very detailed. I like to have fun. I love to eat, love to cook, and all that other stuff. Yeah.
I like that.
So let's get one name, easy conversation to start off. How did you guys meet? How did y'all begin the Smiths?
But before we even get into that, we got to hail the people who went in the room because we started hailing people.
Yeah, man. I got a shout out. Oh, sorry. Do we hail or y'all hail?
No.
You talk to them all the time.
Yeah, man. Cindy Marie, aka Kofi, my cousin. We love you to death. Kihana, that's a role one right there. Legend right there. Omar, Bobby, see you, bro. Ricardo, Devoe, boy, that's a senior man. I got Ricardo Devoe in there. Good to see you. Emil, of course. Good to see you, cuz. Kyle Smith, Abaco, all it down over there for us. All right. So, the other person, I think they're your friend.
Yeah, Chico. Yeah.
Yes.
No, claiming guest. Chico, our good friend, our good family member, who in Jamaica, who need her, come on, because you miss your cheeks. And then the next girl, what you say, Janiska? Glad to have you here again.
Yeah, so we have Ashley, there was Venetia as well. A few other persons, but I missed it. But anyway, hello guys. Sherman.
I'm Sherman, everyone, we did my what's up.
Yes. And so again, drop your comments because it's not just a dialogue between the Smiths and the Bayants. We also want to hear your viewpoints as well in the comments, okay? So yes, let's get into the Smiths. What was your question, Ron?
No, how did it begin the Smiths?
How did y'all become the Smiths?
The Smiths, because he's Smitty from the, that's how I met him. So how did, from the city.
Story. Hey. You know, well, we knew each other honestly our whole lives. We actually went to school together. She was a couple years behind me, but her and my cousins were best friends, so they grew up together. But okay. We didn't like each other, but we just never.
I don't think at that stage in our lives we were each other's type.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. She said I was a little bit too much.
That's Smitty from the city.
Too much Smitty from the city. Too much Smitty in the Smitty.
Yeah. But so anyway, we knew each other all life, like we said, but it wasn't until my cousin, who's actually on there, shout out to Cindy Marie.
And Emile Johnson's and wedding.
Emile's wedding. We went to their wedding, and she gave a few this part of the story, but I was on sitting at a table way in the corner, and like they was feeding all the wedding guests, and they just forgot me and a couple of guys chose to sit on the far end of the table. So man, they see this little pie come up, you know, and she bringing my little macaroni on the plate, whatever.
I organized it.
She made sure I was fed. So anyway, that was the first thing. I was like, oh, that's kind of considerate, you know what I mean? And the type of cousin I have, she had a 3-day wedding, right? So they had a boat cruise the next night. Yeah, she was late. So they had a boat cruise the next night. So it was kind of strange because all the family was there, she was there. So you need to dance a little bit. And I kind of pulled away, and I was like, boy, I like this one. So I hit up my cousin.
Because I was living in Harbor Island at the time.
You could take that. Okay.
I'm from actually South and Harbor Island. But I was living there for a few years at the time. And I only came into town for the wedding. So this was not my focus at all. I was just in and out. And like he said,
she dumped it up. That was his like, aha moment. No, that's the halo light. He said, man, there's just one fellow who's hungry. Who looks sad.
And so on the boat cruise, he kept coming behind me and dancing. And as soon as I catch my little groove, he just like slip away. And he danced again. And gosh, he's Rodney. You gotta make sure. You know, this is and so I was like, anyway, whatever. I went back to Eleuthera, and it wasn't even a thought, to be honest with you. Like, it would, anyway.
So I contact my cousin, and I'm like, I have a message for your friend. Okay, this is before WhatsApp. So it's BBM. And I was like, I need that BBM pin. And she was like, well, you know, she's talking to a guy or something and blah, blah, blah. He said, you know who your cousin is? Yeah, me that BBM pet. Anyhow, it wasn't nothing where it was an aggressive thing. It was really like, good morning. You know what BBM does. Good morning. Have a great day. Then we disappear for the day. Next morning, good morning. All this mess. You know what I mean? Until I didn't want to be too aggressive until the conversation started gradually picking up.
Right.
She moved back, right? Yes. She moved back to Nassau. And we decided to go on a date. So we went to Blue. That used to be the place on the water there, East Upstairs, Bay Street. Yeah, overlooking the harbor. And it was just literally a moment where, like, we looked at each other and I had to go after that.
You know, you just want
to say she's like, I think we can get marginal. It's the first date now. So usually that would have spooked the hell out of me, bro. I'd have been like, this guy. But I was like, I think you're right. Like, it was just something. And I was like, yeah, I think you're right. And literally within 3 months after that, we moved in together. And we've been living together ever since. Shacking up. But, yeah, that's really what it was.
I think it was where we spent a lot of time together, and the previous relationship I was in, like, I think he was like a long distance but same island relationship, because I never saw him. And so Jamal and I were together all the time. And he lived west, I live east. And so those 2-3 o'clock in the morning drive homes, we were just like, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Fall COVID, sounds
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, yeah, shout out to Shell and Esso. They prices made us, you know, move drive up and down.
Yeah, so we just instead of having a draw on a nightstand with your things, you know, it just moved into, it just made more sense for us to just be one household. Like,
and that was it from yeah. that day, almost 8 years ago. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 8 years. This year will be 9 years we've been together.
Right.
Nice, man.
Nice.
And for five.
Oh, I love that. So, one day, because we come back to the marriage, and I say, your little son, who I don't, he doesn't know me, but I watch him grow up. That's
power of social media.
Yes.
One thing I like to do too is to give couples advice and give them direction, and for lack of words, hope on what they can do. And people are aspiring, because they see couples like us, mm-hmm. and I think it's all, you know, easy to do, or I can't get them like that. It's such a fantasy fiction or whatnot. But one thing that you guys talked about that I enjoy, because I know we did it, you guys talked a lot. You guys spent a lot of time together.
Yes.
You guys, I mean, I'm long rides, just vibing. How important it is to have that foundation, to say, just to get to know the other person.
That is extremely important. And to be honest, if we didn't spend all that time together initially, no way in the world we would have made it. We are, personalities are completely different. I mean, the one thing we have in common is a sense of humor. We clown all the time. But besides that, you have to learn. People, like, it's amazing. People continuously evolve, even though they have a common thread in their life of their being, but they continuously evolve. And it's like, I always like to use this analogy. It's almost like making gold. You have to bind together different metals to burn out these impurities, and then you get the pure gold. It's the same thing. You mesh together.
Wow.
So,
okay, go ahead.
Boy, that's a real Smitty proverb right
now.
We had this conversation a lot. So literally, it was rough. It was rough at first, because in your mind you have how you want your situation, your environment, your person to be. She had her idea, I had mine, and it was a clash, because you got egos involved, you got all these different things involved. And the foundation was important, because you was able to hash out all this stuff in the beginning and early on. And, you know, you got to learn the person, because people will continuously change. You can't say, okay, I figured this person out and that's it. And don't worry. Mm. So, I think that's of the utmost importance. Take your time. Like, just take your time. There's no need to kind of, well, we moving fast. But anyway, no need to rush into... We literally was together like
all day. People used to be like, Smitty, what happened to you, man? You drop off the face of the earth. Yeah, like, I can't see you.
Like, what happened to you? When you focus, like I said, I'm that person. If I focus on something, I go hard and passionate. So I focus on my wife, or my wife-to-be, and, you know, went 100% and spend a lot of time. Like anything else, the more you put into something, the better the situation will be at the end of the day. And that was real important.
Like I like to tell people too, marriage is the easiest, hardest thing that I've ever done in my life, okay? It does require a lot of work. I think that foundation, I think the friendship first is so much more important than...
I totally agree.
And the romance and all that other stuff is nice, because you want to have chemistry and you want to be attracted to that person. But I also want to be able to call him and be like, but I got one joke for you. Like, you know what I mean? To be able to share everything with him.
To just enjoy the person.
The only person or the only relationship I've ever been in where I can 100% be myself. And that was very important for me, because as women, I think we try to adjust to make that other person happy. And you may have this little silly side to you, but that other person may think that's kind of immature or they don't really get your jokes. And with him, I was able to bring that out. And a lot of my past relationships, I kind of hid that because people would just be like, what is wrong with this girl? He gets all my silly jokes. And I absolutely love that.
Because she ain't feel that's what's wrong with her. Yeah. That's his.
I love that because that segues sort of right into what I wanted to ask, the importance of keeping the identity. Because a lot of persons saying that when I get married or when I find someone, I have to totally change who I am. I have to totally throw away who I like to be. But you guys are really debunking that. I think that's very important. Speak to us the importance of not only keeping yourself one, but encouraging your spouse to keep themselves as well too.
Oh, definitely. You know, the thing is with Marge, you love not only for the good things, but what may be considered a flaw as well. And persons would, like she said, they would look at that and make it a flaw. Or you too immature, or you too this, or you too that. But I mean, with us, like she say, we both were very headstrong. Very headstrong, very, I wouldn't say egotistical, but just headstrong, just very focused on who we were.
I was raised to be very independent as a woman.
Yeah, she's very.
And I, like my dad raised me to say, if you don't have a man, I want you to be able to do all these things for yourself. And I meet him and he's like, but I'm the man. I'm supposed to be doing these things. And I'm like, I could do that. I could lift that. I could move this. I could. So
y'all don't know our story.
Right, Smitty, that's the game.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that blew it away from me right there. Like, you don't encounter that. That's not even a thing. In general society, not saying that they're, I ain't gonna disrespect women and say they ain't out there, but that's a rarity to find someone who has that level of independence. You know, that blew me away. I was like in shock. Because, like you said, I'm old school. I was brought up, you know, to do, you know, you handle everything, you take control, you take charge. And with me, I thought I was doing a good thing by doing that. But my buddy, this one here, she's like, yeah, that's cool, but you need to do this and you need to listen to this. And the good thing about that is that helped to mature me in my mindset because I allow myself to become vulnerable as a man, which is something that does not happen, and open up myself to actually get feedback and a lot of feedback instead of being a woman, just be quiet, I got this. You know what I mean? That kind of embedded our relationship. That kind of really strengthened it, because it's like, okay, now you have to listen. You can't just try to run everything. And because when you do that, you become blind to the other person's needs and requirements of the marriage. You just pretty much block it out because you like, I got this, or she crazy, or she ain't understanding, or no, they don't. I know it's better for her. When you do that, forget it. You have to be completely vulnerable as a man too and open, regardless of your past situation.
I think back to what you were saying about not losing yourself and be able to keep your identity. Once you married, you know that marriage is all about compromise. So I think that you don't have to lose yourself, but I think you have to find yourself in each other. So you create a whole new person within each other that makes your marriage work. And I think that is important to have in a marriage too, because I can't be who I was and he can't be who he was and that work as in our marriage. I think that we had to find who we were as a married couple,
right,
and become and still work on becoming that person to make each other better.
Yeah.
Let's hit up what they're saying in the comments. So, you know, Aldrin is all for this because he's like, oh, Andrew loves the analogy. Yes, the gold analogy. Aldrin says, nothing like being completely comfortable with each other. We right here, says Daniska. I feel you, Smitty, like they forget we have a job. You know what, Aldrin?
This one.
Don't do it.
Well, Maya, it ain't a call-in show, but you could definitely put your messages in the chat. You will relay as much But the energy that you get from a neutral Omar.
Listen, but he says it's called partnership, and yeah, I know. I wish it was a call-in show too.
But what you both touched on, it just said a different ways, vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, especially if you're one who are past hurts, past right. relationships, whether it's with your spouse, sorry, with your partner, or with a parent or a friend, you're being hurt, and you're scared to open yourself back up. What advice would you give to somebody to say, you know what, I just get into this difficult phase, I want to move on, but I don't know how to open up, how to be.
So vulnerability is a very scary topic for men, because our masculinity and our makeup as a man just don't allow for that, because vulnerable is seen as weak. That's just a comparison for it. But as I speak to people, and you commonly hear this in marriage discussions, what do you bring into the table? What's coming to the table? Blah, 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 right? And you must deal with situations before you come to the table. That's garbage. That's false. Is impossible. If someone could have dealt with their situations, their baggage and all this stuff, and get rid of that, then it wouldn't be no issue for them into being married before you or in relationships and all that. It's difficult until you find that right person who is able to unlock that, identify that, first of all, because we don't like to admit nothing. You have to be able to identify your situations and your baggage and all this sort of stuff. And that person, the right person, could unlock and help you to heal and develop past that. So come to the table. Don't bring no, you know, it ain't about money coming to the table or physical things and all that. Just bring yourself as a person, as a whole, a broken, whatever. And then that other person will unlock that. So be vulnerable. You got to be vulnerable. You got to take risks in life. Without risks, there ain't no reward. That goes for finance, that goes for love, that goes for whatever the case may be. You got to do it. You just find the strength to be vulnerable. It takes a strong person to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
So speaking of vulnerability, it takes a strong person to start a business, to take an idea from concept to reality. And one of the things that the Smiths are very good at is taking a concept and turning it into reality. Please talk to us about your business ventures.
Many business ventures.
Yes.
So what we have adopted the mantra, you know, if it's a hobby or something you love, then make money off of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So whenever we encounter new experiences or whatever, and it seems to be something we love, we dive in head first. I come from a very corporate structured background initially, and I just got tired of it. I hated it. She came from more of a freelance entrepreneurial background and flexibility, and you know, when I was in the time, I was like, I need that. You know what I mean? Like, I had the entrepreneur mindset, but we so used to, you have to sit at a desk 9 to 5. You have to, you know what I mean? So to break away from that, it's kind of like, man, but I say, this girl been surviving, man, I could do it. So literally every time we have a new experience, it pops to business. She took me to Cuba for my birthday, how many years ago? Three?
Three, I think, yeah.
3 years ago. Never had a cigar before that in my life. Went to Cuba, and what blew me away, you hear the stories about Cuba, and you're like, well, I don't know if you should go with the wife of Cuba, you know what I mean? let's be honest.
I can't roll my eyes anymore. People don't go to Cuba for the cigar.
So we went down there. What blew me away is we love art. We love art. We stayed right next door to African Art History Museum, and we stayed. I mean, literally where we was old Havana, the center of town, and we just fell in love with like the culture and the foods and the blah blah blah. And then the cigar thing, like in the city, it was kind of commercial and generic, but we kind of researched it some more. She bought me a cigar, and you know, I'm the type, I go on the internet, I trying to find out what's going on with this and all of that. And just to kind of find out, it's like an art, like the levels of tobacco and the conditions and the different countries involved in trade and blah, blah, blah. And I dived into that. And for me, I just sort of loved it. Came back home and kind of found out that there were different niches for it, different, because I'm a market assessment type of guy. I could come home, I could analyze, go to different shops, go to different places, and say, okay, there's the gap in the market. This is what I could fill. And literally my hobby just, you know, started making money. And then it came to her cooking ventures. You could get into
that. Okay, well, the one thing I could say is I come up with a lot of the ideas sometimes, and especially related to food or more females things. And I always pitch it to him, and he's like, it sounds good, make it happen. And for me,
that's support.
Yeah, so it's like until I actually get it to that point, then he's on board. I could say he is very supportive. He will back me. Once he sees that I'm serious about something, then I have his full support. I think after I had JJ, I was having issues with my milk supply. And so that caused me to do some research into different things that could increase your milk supply. And a lot of the things that at that time before all the social media and Instagram and all these things that you could find out through social media, it was hard for me to find anybody here that had those products or I could get much information from. And so I decided to research it, and the Whimsical Mommy was born.
There you go.
That's the one of my businesses. It's geared toward mothers. And even at my baby shower, I had like 50 presents to open and nothing was for me. Everything was all baby, 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 baby. And I was like, you know what? Mothers really do get forgotten in this whole process, but we are the workhorses. We want to be pampered. We want to have things too before the baby came. So I came up with an idea to have packages as well for new mothers. And then from that, I'm like, okay, I'm a mother now. I'm also a wife who has her husband used to house clean, clothes fold up, food cooked, all that stuff, because being an entrepreneur, you have all that time. But like people say, a baby changes everything. Mm-hmm. And so I saw that I didn't have the time to do the meals that he was used to anymore. So I was like,
another craft. Craft? What is this?
No. So I did some research into freezer meals as well, and it's a whole other world out there with the freezer meals. So people are obsessed with it, and I can see why. So that's where Lil Eats from frozen to fed was born. So what Lil Eats is freezer meals that are already prepped, and so you pretty much open the package and you either put it on the stovetop, into the oven, instant pot, or crock pot. So I made it very easy to have home cooked meals. So it's just something I could just take from the freezer, thaw, and just we have a home cooked meal.
And we also do seafood as well. We found an awesome supplier. He pretty much supplies most of the restaurants, high end restaurants in Nassau. And I was like, yeah, your wholesale is good. You know, can we get some retail action? And so to be honest with you, with business, we have a whole lunch company. Right. And under this Holdings company, we develop all these little businesses under it. And each business, the funds is tied to something. So the seafood is tied to my son's education.
Yes.
You know, different things like that. So so it kind of drives you to be passionate where I might be tired. Like, I feel like I'm gonna drop this off, but it's like, wait.
Right.
Let's go make it happen. And like I tell people, 90% of business, forget technology, forget, you know, knowledge, forget degrees and all of that. It's all about relationship and network and being genuine with yourself, your product, and your people. Don't string people. Don't, you know, even if you take a loss, you got to fulfill that person's requirement. I've been in agency work my whole life. So as an agent, my work 24/7, no such thing as a 9-to-5. There's no such thing. You know, I deal with different time zones. If someone call me, I got to go. If I got to jump on a plane, if I have to find some way to deliver a package by helicopter.
Why we thought he was a spy?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I got to jump on a plane, like literally on the helicopter to go to a key to drop off this package to the vessel, like can't come to the harbor, like just random things, I had to do it. So that mindset with me works well with these type of business, because if you call me, I guarantee you I'll be there some way, or, you know, and if I can't fulfill it or if you don't feel good about it, money right back. Ain't no argument, ain't no swinging. You just develop relationships. So people start to harbor that trust with you and sincerity. So you, as you introduce more and more products or different business ideas, they line up to purchase their stuff because they say, man, you know, this person is, or these persons are known for sincerity and you know, just being real honest. And we don't, if we don't eat it, if we don't like it, if we don't taste it, if it ain't something we love, then we ain't trying to sell it or we ain't trying to deal with it.
I think two of our most important things for our businesses too are quality and consistency. I think once you have that quality initially, people are going to like what you have to offer, whether it be a product or service, and once it is consistent. So I think we try to put that into all of our businesses.
Yeah, for sure.
And over long,
we have about six businesses under the Holdings Company.
It had to be about that. Honestly, yeah. But
two foot.
Go into it first.
Those are the entrepreneurial businesses, but I'm also a partner of my own agency, Alchemarine Agency, which is a whole other ball game. Maritime, Siemens Placement Service. So that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, that's the main thing.
Question.
I always say I despise, so I let them.
You are. It's okay.
I spent it for years. I thought continually.
Well, can figure it out. No, my family would be like, what you do again?
How do you find the time?
I think it's actually easier now with the entrepreneurial pursuits because we have cut off times and cut off days. Like if you have to schedule, you have to plan. It's nothing like you could just pop up. No, I like because we sporadic to it.
I think because priority. Priority. And then two, you set a schedule and a time and you stick to it. Yes, you want to get the business. Yes, you want to build up the customer base. But at the same token, you have to have a life. You need to be sane. You understand? You can't. So while we're still very business minded and focused, we're also very family focused. So we know that comes first above anything. And so we know that we have our faith, we have our family, then we have the money makers. Because it needs to be in that order for everything to work.
And to be honest, the only way that works is because of faith.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, money is going to come. And in my belief, money is going to come. You do what you're supposed to do. And the money secondary is a distraction. You know, it's going to come. But so you have to prioritize your family. You have to prioritize relationships. You'll never go hungry. You know, as the Bible say, the sparrow, you know, the sparrows are fed like, you straight, bro. Like you mean more than not to God. So, you know, it's going to come. So your folks do what you're supposed to do. Like, you know, help society. Every individual, every child, your children. You know, you got to bring them to a point where you leave your little mark and they assist society, and it just keeps growing and growing like that. And that's really a priority for us. Like, we have some down days. Like, if we break the day or what. We exhausted, but anyway, we break the day.
Yeah. It happens. The thing is, like I always tell him, because of our faith, God has never failed us,
and God doesn't fail us.
Never. So if we wake up and we're like, okay, well, things could work out today. By the end of the day, he either calling me or I calling him, and we'd be like, God, don't play. God, don't play. So I think having a strong faith as well, and having that faith tied to your business, you will be successful because God is going to make sure that you win.
No, I love the faith. I love the faith foundation. I love that. And one of the things you guys, because we come back to that, is you guys in ministry as well. Right?
Yes.
That's one of the things you guys know about. Speak to us about the ministry as well.
I wanted to touch the comments first before we get into that. So my mom, Lydia says, she says, you're a good wife. Keep it up. Amen. Jay said, just let Tracy speak, Smitty. I don't feel about that.
Thanks, Jay.
I just want to say thank you to my best friend, Candace. She is the one who gave him my BBN pin.
Yes, girl. You should make a mission off of them. They're good, strong couples. Chico says he likes these. I like these folks as well. Solid people. Chico. So, yes. Smith?
Chico? Like seafood?
Smith? Chico?
No, he said Chico is smoke, but he likes seafood. All up.
Oh, Tamika Dance, as I'm all airs tonight. Just yes, ma, take notes. Oh, hi, Andrew. Andrew
says hi. Nice learning, man. Again, my ass perked up with the business. My ass perked up even more with the faith, man. But tell us about you guys, ministry is mine. That's what I know. That's a good thing you guys do as well.
Yeah, so Boy, we kind of, I wouldn't say we fell into it, but okay, so pretty much I've been, well, because of my mother mainly, you know, always, which she was considered a traditional churchgoer, but I was a back bench type of guy. Like, I ain't gonna be involved, I ain't gonna be, you know, but I believed in God, and I would sit in the back there and I would attend Sunday because I feel like, but if I don't attend enough Sundays, I get in hell. You know what I mean? So it was like a check mark type of thing. It wasn't per se a relationship to that level. And as I met my wife, it was a particular church that we used to go to, a family church, but her family is mostly atheists, except for her mother. So that all the siblings of other person, father, etc. Very loving people, very good people, very genuine people, but they didn't believe in the concept of God that, you know, traditionally is spoken about. So she's like, boy, I can't take that church. That's a little too hard for me. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like...
I was never brought up to be in no 3-4 hour service.
Yeah, it was that type of church.
Like, you went to church for 1 hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody like that?
I don't think anybody like 3-4 hours.
Yeah. So we attended a new church and my sister actually went to. And naturally, we started to get involved with kids. They had a Saturday night thing that was going on. I don't even know who asked us to join that. Who asked us to help?
I think we just, somehow we stumbled on it.
Yeah.
And it was with the kids and, you know, we were really passionate about mentoring kids.
Right. So I had a lot of, actually, I remember. So I had a lot of young guys, like my nephew friends and different people. And it was a basketball thing. So it was like a trick. I was like, yeah, let's go play ball, man. Let's go play ball. And when we got them into there, then they're like, whoa, the gym is in the church. And then, you know, it ended up being conversations and it kind of evolved like that. I just started to love it. But I was like, boy, you know, you never feel worthy enough, right? To be in any type of ministry thing because society teaches us everything is black and white with God. Like, you know, you can get striked down if you don't cross this T or dot this line. Like, it's like this is this, you know, but in our reality, it wasn't like that. We got involved with that. And then Tracy, we needed help with the females, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, Tracy, boy, you need to make something happen. We need help with these girls in the program. So she came on board. And I mean, she was phenomenal in that. You know, she was able to be real with the girls, get them experiences, you know, do they thing. And I guess it kind of caught some person's attention, what we were doing, because we wasn't officially doing this. We was kind of like helping people, but we end up taking over the program. You know, type of people we are. We just end up taking over the whole program.
You brought a ball and say, what happened?
Why did the guy come? Get me
out. So it just started to grow and grow. I mean, it's all God, right? It just started to grow and grow. And then we became a part. Oh, we had small groups in the church. So the pastor was like, yo, Jamal, I want you to lead a church small group. And I was like, did you do a background check? Do you all background check? Like, Google me. Like, no way.
They can't find
that if they
Google you.
And I was sweating. But I was like, yeah, like people named me, but when they see what it is, they're like, but you know, they was like, look, you know, like the Bible say, God's presence is what it is God shows up in your weakness. So God gets his glory through a person's weakness. So he shows his presence when, you know, you can't say, oh, well, I was always this and I was always that, or I did this, or, you know, I'm this strong, so I didn't need God. He shows up for the weak person. Everyone who has a fault, when they get the level of success, it can only be God because they had all these faults and they couldn't take it. So in that, you know, I was like, let me do it. I talked to you first. Remember, I was like, boy, you scared, but what you think? We always tell each other just to win, but so I started to do it, and luckily all the people who start to attend, because they used to come by your house, and then so what surprised me was all pairs of mine. Yeah, they used to go, you had to do it by your house, but it was all pairs. Like,
oh, wow.
And I saw that, and I'm like, what you doing in church? You know what I mean? Like, what? Like,
yeah.
So it literally was pairs. It wasn't nobody didn't know. It was like pairs, but it was just like people just, I guess people have their relationship with God, but publicly they just scared to, I don't know if they're scared to say it or because society, you don't want to, you know, you feel shy about it type of way. You don't want to seem like a traditional churchy person, like Bible thumping, Easter hop type, you know, no offense to anyone, but we didn't want to seem that way, right? Because it wasn't cool.
Tracy, they had a tree fall service.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so these people start showing up. I was like, that God don't play. We always said that God don't play. So we developed this sort of youth ministry called Morph. And we literally had well-known artists, photographers, chefs. Well, she's a chef. She did different portions. And we had a program where literally the kids would jump. So you come for Friday night. So you start in photography. Then you go to doing, we did our version of Chopped. Then you go into sports. And so it was like 20-minute intervals. And it became so popular, we invited all kind of churches. So we had Anglican, Catholic, Baptist, all the kids just were coming in, and it just grew.
Some people from Wrongfully Home.
Wrongfully Home.
Some of the people from the other children's places. Right. But we did, from our small group, Circle. Well, I'll explain a little more what Morph. Morph, we decided on that name because we wanted it to be a transformation for these kids. But we wanted to create an atmosphere where they were comfortable, first of all, where they had things to do so they wouldn't be distracted, and where we weren't just like talking at them and not talking with them. And so whenever they went into a different segment, they were there to learn something. So in photography, they would be taught about photography or how to use your phone to take pictures and things kids like that. And then we would talk about how God can be seen in different aspects of careers that could take you into photography, or how God could speak to you through pictures or different things like that. And then we got them competitive. So we did a competition where they were doing like Chopped. So we would just have mystery ingredients like tuna, cheese, and like pickles or something. And they had to come up with these meals. Right. And we would talk to them. We talked to them about how food is interpreted in the Bible, or different areas in the Bible where food was used in lessons and things like that. Right. Then they're outside, they're exercising.
Right.
So now we're teaching them about God through play.
Yeah.
How important it is to have fun while you're still worshiping God, while you're still praising God, while you're still learning about God. It's still important to have fun doing these things.
We got to shut out some people because we can't.
Say the church name. Because you are someone.
Yeah, somebody's in the comments asking what's the church name.
In the Morph program, like the artists. Like these were people who everyone in society knew, and they would just come and volunteer their time for free and do this program. So Sherrod Lightborn, photography, Stefan. Airbrushing, Stefan Legend. We had, who else? Boy, I shouldn't start that.
No,
yeah, I can't remember.
See, that's why it's getting trouble. That's it right now. No fail.
Yes.
Yeah, we had the flag football crew. We had Alan Wallace. Artists came through. We had, who else? But we had a bunch of like well-known different artists, and Keisha Campbell, marketing, and
Keisha was the best Chopped judge ever.
Yeah, right. So literally, we had some phenomenal people just come.
One people. So it's kids, people who the kids will probably definitely know. And skill, y'all took what they know and tied that in with God, so that even solidified that message even more now.
So in the comments, not saying it's the best thing is y'all support each other. And Mo, of course, this is the other spy. They awesome couple, stay strong.
Most of spies, I get Mo.
Kyle wants his cut because he's a Smith. I don't know. But Dennis Kamas wants to know, what church is this? Is it Bahamas Harvest?
No, this is New Providence Community Church.
Okay.
After this program, I got a call, and like, this was crazy, right? Yeah. So they gave me a call, and they was like, they wanted me to consider me for as an elder.
The evolution of Jamal Smith.
Look what a good woman could do.
Look at that.
In the background, you know. You know, and you think of elder, you think of that, and I was completely devastated. I was like, God, what you doing? Like, me? Like, yeah, me? Right?
We had that conversation, Ben. He's like, Tracy, me? But me, though?
Yeah. But I must say, if it wasn't for my wife, like...
I say so. Go ahead.
Impossible way, like, you know. And that was the thing. I think I was considered because of my wife. Because they know... basically the support I have from her, because it's draining work. You know, you have to deal with a lot of different situations with people and comfort and that sort of thing. But anyway, so, you know, they asked me to come in. It took a couple of months for the process. They got to get to know you, talk to people, ask about you, yeah, yeah, right? So it was a case where they just wanted to bring in some young elders to groom over the years to start to replace the ones that were coming up. So I accepted about a year. This is a year now.
It's like 2.
Oh, shoot, 2 years.
Don't forget, we have to write off 2020.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, so it's been like 2 years now as an elder. And it's not something where like I'm preaching or anything, but it's like high level decisions, direction, where the church goes, and to bring another perspective. Because you don't want everyone in the room with the same perspective. It's always a little silent or soft answer sometimes at the end of the conversation that could change the whole viewpoint. So they brought in like 2 or 3 of us, younger elders in there as well. And we constantly under the grooming and all that sort of thing. But, you know, what did it for me? I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I can't, you know, put on the facade. And they was like, we want you to be who you are. They want you to come as you are, because that's your strength. That's your personality. You know, and that's what draws people, because we taught that the church is just black and white. Like, it's just stringent. Like, you do good, you do wrong. But it ain't like that. When you have relationships, it's up and downs with people. So margin with God, you know what I mean? So, right. So anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and then, during COVID as well, because we couldn't meet, we couldn't host small group anymore. And me, I am not a Zoom person. I like to see people, touch, feel, like sit in front of a computer. No offense to this.
I was like, we Zooming now.
Yeah. No, but
I mean, so we could have gone face to face because I want the food. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, during that time, you were Zooming for everything. You were Zooming for work. You were Zooming for your children's school. And so it got to be a little too much for me. But he had a men's group that evolved out of COVID. And they would have their Zoom meetings on Mondays and Fridays, still do it. But what impressed me was that it's just strictly for the men. So it's a group of these young guys
all over the world.
And every Monday and every Friday, without fail, these men get together and they have a conversation about God. You know what I mean? And everybody's very comfortable. Everybody's still themselves. They have their issues and their problems. He goes outside, so I don't hear what they say. But you know what I mean? He always comes in and tells me, Tracy, it was such a good session tonight. And this is the part of the Bible that we read, or this is the lesson that we learned and stuff like that. And for me, initially, it was like, you know, it's COVID. Like, I need you to focus. I need help with JJ. Like, I had him all day. And now you're going on this men's group thing. And like, I still ain't getting no help, right? And it was frustrating for me until I said to myself, I said, you know what? No, he needs this. But more importantly, the people that he's talking to probably need this. So you could give him these 2 nights, and then the other nights, you get JJ.
I forgot about that too. So we have 2 men's groups, actually. One man on, like you say, Monday, one man on Friday. It became so big, we had to split into 2 groups. So the guys are predominantly from Nassau, but we have guys in Canada. We have guys in all throughout the United States. They're Bahamians, but they just live in different parts. And, you know, it started off as a fear. Like, man, we were afraid. Like, we like, what is the world about to end? Like, everyone losing their job. I can't take care of my family. What to do? Like, you know, it just, and like I said, God has showed up in weakness. So with this, it was like a conversation, but what you doing? You want to say, God, pull up, you know? And we sit there, we have our cigars, we zoom up, and we have guys, and I'm not talking about no church dudes, you know, like, I'm talking about guys, and shout out to all my boys, all kind of backgrounds, like, straight from the muck, all type of people, anyway, Just regular people. Let me say that. Just regular people, like not churchy, not a halo around the head. But these people, everybody had that tie to God, or they was yearning for that relationship with God. I mean, just
these weren't people that we would see in church every
Sunday. These ain't church people. Let me say that. Yeah. It ain't church people. It's just dudes like you'd see around the place in the club on the street, whatever. Just really good heartening friend. And then it was a mixture because you had that, but you also had public speakers. You had youth pastors in there. You had like all these different, this mesh of men. Because we just were like, babe, what direction to go in? We don't even know left from right now. And it just developed like that. And we just do like this relationship based on talking. One dude having problems with his wife. Another dude, child is sick. Another dude, this and that. And, you know, we just developed into that. So we all got in the ministry. Forget about that.
Well, Smith, I think you don't do yourself service at times. When you keep on saying you want the church this and you want the church that, but the Bible I read talked about God accepting you as you are. The God I subscribe talks about literally come as you are. And when Jesus came on the earth, he went out of the church, out of the temple, and went amongst the people. That's what you're doing. So I hear you one side, you think yourself, you know what I'm this person, I'm that person, why me? But you have a plethora of stories in the Bible of everybody who said the exact same thing. I'm unworthy, but God said, no, I need you. The person, I need you. I need your check and pass, because your check and pass lends authenticity to allow you to go into certain places where my light don't shine as much as it needs to shine.
I agree. And that's what I developed into. The thing is, you can't let people tell you what the Bible says. You can't let people... You have to find it for yourself. You have to read it. It wasn't until I started reading with these dudes in detail and like really applying myself, asking the Holy Spirit to lead me.
Hello, Jason.
From the bottom of my eye. It's awesome.
It wasn't until that, then I realized, like you say, but like it ain't about being having a halo on your head and dressing in all white with rings and, you know, like, that's not it. Like, you need to be out on the road. You need to be able to sit down and have a beer with the boys and a cigar. And you think and talk to you. Like, God, like you say, Jesus went to fishermen, bro. Like, they wasn't even raided, you know, in their cities and stuff. And literally all the disciples and all these different people, man, the backgrounds that they had, it was considered horrible. But that's what he went to. He didn't stay in the four walls. You went to the synagogue during certain times of prayer and, studying and all that, but that is it. You got to be on the road. And in order to be on the road, you got to be yourself, real, recognized, real. So if you come in to people with faith, it ain't on your own.
And Keisha also reminded in the comments about the week here, we share ministry as well. So at our church, we have a ministry that we were asked to take over, another one. It's We Care, We Share. What happened is our church takes, or we, before COVID, we took in, and before Dorian, we used to take in a lot of donations. So people would just donate all type of random things. And we had the elderly ladies of the church that were trying to manage it, but became overwhelming for them. So Jamal and I took it over, and we would, volunteers would come in and we would organize clothes, food, furniture, bedding, and these things. And we would go into less fortunate communities and we just put these things out on the table.
Well, we would let them know.
We let them know. We work with another church
or organization
in the community, and we'd set up those type of things. We'd have some type of meal that people could come and get while they come and pretty much shop. And then people got to know that, you know, we had access to certain things. So then people would be like, do you have a fridge? Do you have a stove? Do you have a bed, a mattress, whatever? And we were able to give people those things through that ministry as well.
And shout out to Natalia McKinney, because he's online now. His program, what's that? Dream Chasers. They do a phenomenal job.
And we work with them as well.
We work with them. We work with a lot of communities, a lot of different organizations, like she said. So our thing was, we didn't care who got the stuff. Like, it wasn't something where you guard it and be like, okay, you get two bags of rice, you get a bed, you get this.
Right.
Get it out. Just take it. End up in someone's hands. Just God can make sure and go where it's supposed to go. So just get it out. So our proximity of our church out west on Blake Road, you have a lot of attendees from behind the gates in it. So you got like Old Fort, you got like, you got these people, but they don't know how to get into the city. Yes. Or they've been hurt, or they distrust individuals in the past because they swing them, or they use them for political reasons, or whatever. So they just like felt comfortable just throwing stuff our way, and we just link up with people. Like they say, anybody who came with any church, any organization, I don't care where you were from, I don't care your background, Rastafarianism, I don't care if it was Buddhism, I don't care if it was PLP, FNM, I don't care what it was. We just felt that, look, these things standing there and they go rotten, just get it out. So, I mean, the ministry just blew up more and more.
And shout out to all of our volunteers from the We Care, We Share ministry, because without y'all folding and organizing and being out there and showing up, it really wouldn't have been as successful as it is.
Yeah.
So are there any thoughts that you would like to leave with the audience?
No, that's me.
What?
You have them, no? Mm-hmm. Oh, before we wrap up, so Derek said, love these two. So I have to say that. Keisha Smith Gamble saying, proud of you guys. That's who said that we care, we share that.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was very important to highlight. We started off talking about you guys. We highlight you guys' businesses. One thing is you said, always called, always showed up for you guys and businesses. But I think it's undersold how much work you guys did on this behalf as well. Yeah. So it's like, you guys are the epitome of obedience and veteran sacrifice. Like, y'all even forgot the amount of work y'all did in the background for God, just casually doing for him.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Whenever you guys ask him to say, "Mom, make sure we straight," God, some on a small list. You know, the stuff you're doing for me, and not looking to get praise, not looking to get recognition, just doing it because you've been obedient. One is I love about you guys. So your guys, I'm assuming when it comes to stuff,
you don't do it for the clout. You don't do it for the credit. You don't do it to be seen, and that's amazing.
And they are doing it for the right reasons, and that's why you guys are getting the blessings, and that's why I swing over to you. Because y'all are doing your part as well. So I encourage you guys to keep that up. And anybody listen, keep that up. That's the currency of living here. It's a core back into it.
Yeah.
You get what you put in, like Jamal said earlier. You get what you put in. You put 100%, you get 100% up. And just before we wrap up, because our door is listening to us, man, JJ, get over, you can hear this podcast.
Yes.
Please tell us what your beautiful son before you go. And then we can let you go. And your daughter. And your author, gorgeous daughter, your beautiful son, because I ain't get wrapped. Because our daughter is.
Okay.
You won't mention us yet. So it's your time to showcase you all. That's the best merger of the Smiths brand right there.
It is, actually. That's the best part of him right there.
Without you, whatever. Okay. she's very good at description. That's the thing.
Talk more about
Jaira
and volleyball and her accomplishments.
All right, because we run no time here, yeah. And dog. My beautiful daughter, she's 16.
I know it's strikes, okay?
Hey, my beautiful daughter, she's 16. You know, she lives in Fort Lauderdale with her mother, but she is just a gem. She's like a sports star. She plays soccer, volleyball, all this sort of stuff. She's just... I don't even know what they got now. The scale up to 5 points, she got 4 points, something, I don't know. But she does very well, that's very genuine. You know, we talk every so often. And her and Tracy's relationship is just phenomenal. Like, they don't check for me. Them two just, like, forget daddy. You know, daddy's the rowdy one. You know, so shout out to my daughter, Jaira Smith. Love you. We love you to death.
Love you.
All right. And then we got JJ.
Our ball of energy.
I shouldn't have named him Junior because he got all my energy.
JJ, I think as a great combination of our personalities, he's our little comedian. He's always singing, like somebody who doesn't notice that he's always singing as well.
Really?
And he brings it's always us. And just how it was just always me and him together before the marriage, before JJ is always with us. And JJ is always a part of a lot of things that we do, almost everything that we do. And it's like, you need your time together. And I do want to tell people that's very important, that when you have kids, not to forget about your husband, because I think females do that. Yeah. I think people have a tendency to say, I love my child more than I love my husband or my wife, but don't forget they was there first. And you wouldn't have had your child if it wasn't for this other person.
Look at that.
So I need to say, I just met you.
I said, hold on. I said, you're cute. You're not cute. I just met you. I know how long that. I just met you.
That's amazing. So anyway, go ahead.
But I think JJ also has brought us a lot closer to, it's like, we have our time and we enjoy our time. And then it's like, okay, then we can pick up the boy. Yeah, he's he's a lovely kid. We have no issues.
My children have taught me so much. My daughter, like you say, was stubborn and all that. And she had preteen and I'm like, what language are you speaking? Like, what? I don't understand that. So like the other day she teaching me about the five love languages and she's like, Daddy.
Go ahead.
And yeah, that, and then, you know, this is what you need to do. And then she teaching about communication and when they're angry, get in their space. And I'm like, okay, baby, I get it. I'm like, man, you can't rest. Like, but that's a good thing. If I didn't have him, I'd probably be laying on half the time tired. But, you know, he just makes you explore new things and a different perspective on life, you know. You have a different viewpoint.
Love to see the world through kids' eyes.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
It's a beautiful girl. Every time we're having fun, time goes by.
I tell you, like it'll be cool. It'll be fine. So we're hearing from the audience. Daniska says, power couple, very admirable, very genuine. So yes. That's always good feedback. Sonia says, great show, guys. Ashley, I really enjoyed this. Lovely couple. Derek says, I am here for Tracy Shade, aka Love. I love it too.
Smith.
She does it so well. Like she does it so well. All right, and Daniska, thank you so much. You said we're growing. Oh, thank you so much. We're trying.
How can we reach you guys? Just give your plugs, your business names.
And drop it in the comments for us too.
So we can share it as well.
Yes, we will do. So what we decided, because so many things going on, we have one group business page. Is follow us on Instagram at Smith Life Deals. Sorry, Smith Life
242. There's a 242 in there.
Yeah, it's also 242.
Smith Life Deals 242. That's where you get all the combinations of our businesses. We have a lot of stuff going on, but that's strictly for, you know, all the different things we have. Once you go on that page, you'll see the different links. You'll see the promotions we have.
Websites.
We have different the websites, specials going on every week. Everything will just be concentrated there. So that's the easiest thing.
Okay, so drop that right in the comments for us.
Yes.
Jan said she enjoyed this and she'll be back, and we hope so. Venisha doesn't work for us
but she did some for our business service culture. I think we were our first adult client, she said.
Yeah.
She did an awesome job. We got some work shirts.
We got our branded stuff, you know, embroidery, so you got to check her out.
To show you the importance
all about the branding.
Not Smith like these. Smitty, please drop it in the comments quick. It's gonna be there. Don't worry about it.
Smith's like, that's a good one. Smith like deals with us.
Right.
There you go.
So
thank you.
What we really want to say for real, Keisha's on it because she's like dropping all the links.
That's
my sister.
That's our organizer.
Trust me, I love her to death. Okay.
She's on
it. She's
the boss.
she's also our brander as well.
Nice.
Collaborations, community.
And this is it. It's a community. It's networking. Relationships.
Good mommy. Come on, keep it coming, Keisha. We can talk to you. Because they're forgetting all this stuff.
No? Okay. So we want to tell you guys.
I joined late, so she didn't hear what we spoke about the whips. Come on.
The replay is going to be here on Facebook. It's going to be up on YouTube.
That's the video. And all the audio is going to be on all anyway.
Streaming platforms.
Various Google it. Our Love Podcast is going to come up.
So thank you. I mean, I don't know how best to say thank you, so I'll let Rodney say it, but. Thank you.
So to Jamal and Tracy, thank you so much for being open and honest, sharing your story and just sharing your time with us. We know we did it just a little bit early because Super Bowl tomorrow. Thank you guys for flexing with us. We appreciate you guys so much. We have admired you guys from afar. It was an honor to sit up close and talk to you guys. Even though they're seeing Tracy up close, it still is up close. So we appreciate you guys so much. And we will definitely continue to follow and support in any way that we can. Thank you again. Thank you for all those who are listening, for the new listeners. Like and share the page. We will be here week after next.
With
another couple.
Yes.
And it's going to be, we start off Rash and Andrew. Hi, Jamalam, the same height. So
they got to come correct, man.
Yeah, keep on keeping it. These people knocking on the park. But thank you guys for tuning in. We will be here week after next. Thank you so much.
It's an honor to be invited, man. You know, like I love you a long time. I appreciate you all for many years, you know, always been watching you all from afar as well. You know, so it's an honor for us to even be invited and just to be here, you know, we don't do much of these things, so you know, we appreciate it, man.
Yes, y'all will be doing more.
Y'all, y'all get it all recorded. He's beat me. Remember?
That's it.
Okay, there's nothing.
All right, so cigar corner. So anyway, Keisha Smith Gamble, keep it up, because Jamal.
Keep it up.
What a catch!
Oh yeah,
all the stuff she got you, man. Hey, that's why she's your brown person. Get a brown person, Keisha. Not
yeah,
her, just
brown person.
Yeah, yeah. Like Keisha. Thank you guys. Love you guys. Until next time, we'll see you again.
All right, take care,
all right, man.
This one is called Lover's Choice. Real love. I'm still in love.
Let's see it. 'Cause love.